Their geography protected the British forces from a direct attack, for in 1775 it was located on a peninsula that was connected to the mainland only by a narrow isthmus, the Boston Neck. That created a stalemate. The American militiamen could not fight their way in, and the British could not fight their way out. Since the only access to Boston was by water and the Royal Navy commanded the sea, the British remained secure and well supplied inside the city, no matter how many militiamen besieged them. When a Virginian named George Washington arrived to assume command of the colonial militia in the name of the Continental Congress in July, he recognized that he had to find a way to threaten the British supply line. To do that, Washington leased a fishing schooner, the Hannah, from Colonel John Glover of Marblehead, Massachusetts, armed it with four small cannon, and sent it to loot British ships. Thus, the tiny 78-ton Hannah became the first armed vessel to act in the service of what would eventually become the United States of America. The Hannah's career as a warship was both short and disappointing. She captured only one vessel, which ironically turned out to belong to an American patriot, and not long afterward, she ran aground and had to be abandoned. Soon enough, however, other vessels were entrusted with the same mission, and several of them made successful cruises, most notably the schooner Lee, which seized more than half a dozen British supply ships, including a Royal Navy ordnance brig loaded with 2,500 muskets, several cannon, and 30 tons of shot. Washington's decision to employ armed vessels to sustain his siege of Boston proved a sound strategic gambit. Before the siege was over, those vessels captured a total of 55 British ships. Significantly, however, the Hannah, the Lee, and the other ships of what came to be called Washington's Navy were not part of a long-range plan to establish a permanent naval force. Rather, they were an ad hoc response to particular circumstances, employed for a specific task in the full expectation that, upon its completion, they would revert to their former status as fishing schooners and merchant vessels. In that respect, Washington's Navy is a useful metaphor for the role of American naval forces in the Revolutionary War, and indeed, throughout much of the early history of the Republic. Washington's siege of Boston ended in March 1776 after the Americans established artillery batteries on Dorchester Heights overlooking the city, and the British commander, William Howe, decided to abandon Boston and go to New York. British naval dominance. The absence of an American naval force was painfully evident in Howe's swift occupation of New York City. Washington recognized from the outset that defending a city built on an island created daunting challenges for an army with no naval support, but he felt compelled to try. Howe's army very nearly trapped Washington's whole force, first on Long Island, then on Manhattan, and Howe might have destroyed the American army altogether if he had been more zealous. Instead, Washington managed to escape, slipping away in the dark of the night to fight another day. The whole campaign, however, underscored the disadvantages of facing a foe that possessed unchallenged mastery of the sea. In addition to scores of transport ships, Howe had brought to New York a fleet of 10 ships of the line and 20 frigates, all under the command of his brother, Admiral Sir Richard Howe. Ships of the line, so called because they were powerful enough to hold a place in a naval line of battle, were the largest warships of the age of sail. Each of them carried 74 or more heavy naval guns arrayed on two decks, one above the other, and were therefore sometimes called two-deckers. Frigates had the same sail pattern as ships of the line, three masts, square-rigged, but they were smaller and carried a single row of 32 to 40 guns. Globally, the Royal Navy boasted a total of 130 ships of the line and twice as many frigates. It was the largest navy in the world, and so dominant that Patriot forces could not hope to challenge it. Instead, like Washington at Boston, they employed such ersatz naval forces as they could when circumstances created an opportunity. Lake Champlain. Champlain is a long and narrow lake that extends 125 miles from Lake George north of Albany, New York, to St. John's in Quebec. In a country where roads were both few and poor, it was a vital north-south artery for travel and communication. In London, British authorities contrived a scheme to send a military force southward from Canada along that artery to split rebellious New England off from New York and the Middle Colonies. It was evident from the outset of this campaign that whoever controlled Lake Champlain would command the strategic theater. Once British intentions became evident,